Welcome to the Bear Arm Show. Your fun, sometimes witty source for news, commentary, and interviews. We focus on efforts to protect and restore the right to keep and bear arms. Arm yourself with the information you need to protect your rights. With your hosts, John and Michael.
This is John Willett. You're listening to the Bear Arm Show. We're recording this on Monday, September 26, 2016. I'm your humble host, Mr. John Willett, joined as always by my brother Mike.
What's up?
And we're here to give you the latest news and views as we see it in the world of Second Amendment activism and community and whatnot from all across the great nation, the United States of America.
Yeah, from sea to shining sea.
From sea to shining sea. All right, so this episode of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about police shootings. They seem to be happening with more frequency, or we're hearing about them more. I don't know which it is. At least some of them are garnering quite a bit of media attention, sometimes for the right reasons and sometimes for the wrong reasons. Often for the wrong reasons, I think. But we'll look more into that. We're also going to talk about iTunes reviews.
What?
And how we love having iTunes reviews.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get to our Call in the Shot segment. What did you say?
Platinum.
Platinum?
We're going platinum.
Oh, boy. And we're also going to get to our Call in the Shot segment, our quick news, where we have some links, sometimes from anti-gun places. Anti-gun places.
Anti-gun.
That's right. But before we get any of that, we're going to talk a little bit about our sponsors. Sponsors are Black Bag Resources. You can find them at blackbagresources.com. They're there for all your black ops needs, whether you need to smuggle people across state lines. I say this in jest.
They sell black bags that big?
I do. You know what? He will find you a black bag that big. Absolutely.
I'm sure he will.
He'll find you a black bag. He might even be able to find you the van with free candy scratched into the side or whatever it is that you need.
There you go.
All right. In all seriousness, Sean provides some serious products and services for those who are interested in getting into the tactical side of firearms. Or if you're just the average gun owner, you need some hex mags or something.
Or if you're into paintball,
regular supplies. If you're into paintball and need some smoke grenades, he's got you covered.
Right.
In addition to that, we have NJ Concealment Furniture, who challenge you to come and find it. They provide great furniture, beautifully designed and built, and a nice place to store your valuables, whatever those valuables may be.
And just about any piece of furniture that you could want for your house.
That's right. NJConcealment.co. And finally, Justifiable Force Training. You can find them at JustifiableForceTraining.com. Mr. Michael Wolford will get you hooked up with some self-defense moves. Mindset, defensive mindset is actually the class that's coming up immediately, I think within the week or two.
Great training opportunities.
Yes. And you can find them, justifiableforcetraining.com. And now that we've done the sponsors, we're going into the words of wisdom. As we always do, Mike's going to be kicking it off.
Okay. And episode 46, words of wisdom, come from Timothy Dwight. He was an army chaplain during the American Revolution. And he said, to trust arms in the hands of the people at large has, in Europe, been believed to be an experiment fraught with only danger. Here, by a long trial, as it has been proved to be perfectly harmless, if the government be equitable, if it be reasonable in its exactions, if proper attention be paid to the education of children in knowledge and religion, few men will be deposed to use arms unless for their amusement and for the defense of themselves and their country.
And there we go with the words of wisdom for this episode of the Bear Arms Show. Kapow. And that was the words of wisdom 30-round clip version.
Standard capacity magazine version.
It's magazine. But we like to keep it loose, right?
Standard capacity.
Words the standard capacity. You know what? That wasn't even standard capacity. That was 100-round drum. That was Tommy Gunn.
Oh, boy.
I almost went off on a whole tangent about Rocky V.
That's funny because I did the same thing.
Tommy Gunn.
Yeah.
Oh, yo, Adrian. Yo, Adrian. That's right. Okay.
So Timothy Dwight, back during the American Revolution, talking about arms to defend yourself or your country or amusement or hunting. But few men will be deposed to use them.
And already begging on Europe.
Already begging on Europe. Right?
That's right. All right. So getting into topic number one. We're going to talk a little bit about police shootings. And this is going to be a combination. Let's see where people stand. And a learning segment.
Yes.
Where you can be educated about what to do if you are not involved in a police shooting per se, but involved in a... I don't want to use the word confrontation.
An interaction with law enforcement.
Sounds very official. So with that, we're going to turn it over to a former Army MP, Mr. Michael Willett.
Okay. If you are bebopping down the street, as we used to say back in the day, if you're just walking down the street and a police officer comes flying around the corner in his car, drives up to you, comes walking around a corner, running, whatever. And you have your hands in your pocket, and he gives you an order, direct order, show me your hands. You empty your hands and you show him your hands. You have no idea what his situation that he's responding to. You have no idea what he's responding to. You have no idea what information he has. You show that you're not a threat and you follow direction.
Okay. So, you know what? We got to set this up a little bit because you're jumping like right into scenarios, right? So let's set the table on this a little bit. We've had some high profile things happen in the news. All parts of the country, right? This isn't about something being wrong in, as wrong as things are in Chicago. This isn't just about something being wrong in Chicago. It's not about something being wrong in Detroit or Baltimore or wherever it is, right?
It's all over the incidents country. Happening. It's happened everywhere.
Yeah. There's incidents that have happened all over the country, and right or wrong, people come to some conclusions about the quality of the victim, or who the victim is, or you know they're coming to very different conclusions about what exactly happened, why it happened, and what needs to be done about it. So as far as the educational portion, of what we want to talk about here, I feel like you just want to give some practical guidelines for making sure that if, you know, God forbid, you're listening to the show and you're bebopping along down the sidewalk and you find yourself in an interaction with law enforcement, that you're going to be able to keep yourself safe. That's the number one priority, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. We want everyone to live through the encounter.
Okay.
You know, so, as a law enforcement officer, I didn't want to shoot anyone.
Right. So now that we've prefaced this with why we're going to give some practical guidelines on what you should do if you're in an interaction with police, what are the guidelines that you can give? And then maybe we'll discuss some of the ancillary issues.
Okay. Ancillary. Follow direction. You just follow direction. They tell you, show me your hands. You show them your hands. If you have something in your hands and they tell you to drop it, you drop it. If they say drop that gun and you're holding a pencil, you drop the pencil. If you're holding a gun and they say drop the pencil, you drop the gun. It doesn't matter. If they're yelling for you to drop whatever, you drop whatever's in your hands.
So you're saying regardless of how right or wrong the officer may be in their assumptions, if they're giving you an order, you comply to the best of your ability.
Yes.
Okay. If you're unable to comply, how do you relate that to the officer?
Okay. If you are unable to comply.
If he's telling you to do something that you're physically unable to do, maybe he's telling you to... You know, I'm trying to think of something, but maybe you have a handicap and you're disabled in some way and you're unable to physically perform the action that they want.
Okay. So I can understand that because I have back injury. I cannot do everything as someone, you know, that the average 34-year-old male can do.
Okay.
If I'm told, get on the ground, I'm going to tell them, I am getting on the ground. I have an injury. It will take me time, but I am doing what you told me. So you want to convey to the officer, I understand your direction. I understand your order. You know, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I am doing what you said. I am doing it as fast as I can.
Okay. I like that. So what's the next thing that we need to know?
So don't make any sudden movements. Don't do anything quickly. Don't reach for anything. Don't grab at anything. You forgot your wallet and jump back in your car. We've seen videos of people getting shot doing that.
Okay.
So don't, if you forgot something, just leave it. You can get your wallet later. You can get your driver's license, your insurance. You can get all that stuff later.
Okay.
Okay. If you haven't gotten your wallet out or whatever, and you're carrying a firearm, or even if you're not, wait till the officer is there. Have a conversation with them. When they tell you, can you get this? Can you get that? That's one, you know, if I haven't, as a concealed carrier, if I haven't gotten my wallet already, acting with law enforcement being pulled over for, say, my license properly, which happened, and I didn't have time to get my wallet before he got to the vehicle because he just wanted to tell me. I had a conversation with him, and I told him, I'm a concealed carrier. My identification and my concealed carry license is in my wallet. My handgun is on my hip, and I will be reaching past that hip to get my wallet.
Okay.
All right. So as long as you interact with them, you know, and treat with them with respect as you want to be treated, and inform them of what you're doing and why you're doing it, they should be reasonable in their response.
Fair enough. So if you're in a state that doesn't require you to disclose, and I'm just curious, does Idaho require you to disclose that you're carrying?
No.
So you don't have a rule that says you have to notify them, but you told him anyway, because if you reached for your back pocket and he saw the firearm.
Pulling up my shirt to reach into my pocket, and he sees my firearm.
So that was a decision you made that you were going to tell him so that he knew before he saw it on his own.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. That's one thing that I want to say that Shanine did that I agree with. Unfortunately, it got her in some hot water because of the state she was in.
Right.
So
if you're not familiar, I hope you would be, but if you're not familiar, he's referring to Shanine Allen, who disclosed to a law enforcement officer in New Jersey that she was carrying her firearm, which, even though she had a concealed carry permit from Pennsylvania, was not valid in New Jersey and ended up getting her in a lot of trouble and create a lot of heartache for her, and eventually needed to be pardoned by Governor Christie. So, moving on.
Okay, so no sudden movements. Don't do any more than they direct. If they tell you to do something, get your ID out, get your wallet. They say get your wallet out, and it's in your pocket. Don't pull your wallet out and then open your center console reaching for your registration or whatever.
Right.
Okay. Do just what they say, just what they ask.
You want them to expect whatever movements it is that you're going to be making.
Right. You know, if they say get your wallet out and you reach over for the glove box, there's going to be some apprehension there because I wouldn't expect you to keep your wallet in your glove box.
Right. Okay. You got more?
Don't do any less than they direct. You know, if they say, you know, get your wallet out, get your registration.
So
please.
I'm curious about this one.
Okay.
What's the purpose behind this one? Because I'll just tell you what my first blush instinct is on this. Is that the idea of doing less than they tell you to do, or telling them that you're not going to do something that they tell you to do, is going to be something where the thought is you're increasing the frustration level for them, or they're on some sort of clock because of whatever it is that they're doing, and you're increasing the chances for them to be on edge and for something bad to happen. Is that a good assumption or is that a bad assumption?
If you start an interaction with someone, if I walk up to you and I say, what did you think about that football game the other day? And you're like, football players are no good. You're anti-American for watching that because they are protesting the national anthem and the flag. And, you know, there's going to be some angst there. There's going to be some confrontation and we're not starting off on a good footing. I'm not saying that you have to give up your rights and you have to do anything that's against your rights, but if a police officer is responding to, say, what happened in Washington the other day, where they had an individual shoot five people at a makeup counter in a mall. If a police officer is responding to that and they tell you, stop, and you have no reason to stop me, and you keep going, I'm going to assume that we're going to have problems.
Okay. That's fair.
I'm responding to an individual that's an active shooter.
Okay. So I'm curious, and you know what? Let's do the last one too, because I think I have the same comment for this.
Okay. So the last one is following directions is not giving up your rights. Okay. You have your rights. Okay. But like I talked about with responding to an active shooter, and I tell you to stop. Or I'm driving down the road and I'm stopping vehicles that match a description and I have my lights on and I'm behind you and I'm telling you to stop, but you know that you're not speeding. You've used your blinker. You don't have anything wrong, you know, and you're like, well, you have no reason to stop me. And, or they cordoned off an area and they're stopping all the vehicles exiting an area to make sure that a person matching that description isn't leaving.
Okay.
All right. They're stopping you for a reason. Okay. You still have your rights, but follow direction. And if the police violate your rights, then after the interaction is over, then you can pursue your rights being violated.
All right. So don't
make the situation worse.
All right. So let's, I would say that generally speaking, I think you have good guidelines for us. I think you've given us something that's good for us to think about if we're going to interact with police. I do take a little bit of issue with a couple of them in the sense that I don't think they always apply. And that's in the sense of, if a police officer orders me something that is, unlawful, or they order me to do something that they don't have the right or the power, really, because they don't really have rights. They have powers. If they order me something that they don't have the power to compel, then I'm well within my ability to say no.
To refuse that. It's your duty to refuse an unlawful order.
So if they're going to come to my house or whatever and they ask, and this is going to come down to listening to what they say. If they ask you to search your car, if they ask you to search your home, probably not going to comply with that, right? Or maybe you will, but it's your choice.
If they come to your home and they say, I'm going to search your home, you don't have to comply with that.
Right.
You're within your rights and you can.
Oh, they have a warrant. They might have to comply with it, but but that's not just going to be the one cop over a searcher car.
Right.
So there is a distinction to be made there, I think. The other thing, too, is, that gets a little tricky, though, because, if you're in a situation, what do you do? And obviously, and I'm not endorsing some of these videos that you see online, but you see a lot of these videos online where, the guy's doing the open carry thing or whatever. And, whether or not they're being provocative and inviting the attention or something, a lot of times, they might be approached by police officers and the police officers demand identification. And it turns out they're in a state where they're not required to show ID, right?
Right.
Particularly if they don't actually, plan on charging them with a crime or believe that they committed a crime, they can't compel them to give them ID. But sometimes the police officer will not tell the truth when the person says, you don't have the power to compel me to give you ID. And they'll say, yes, I do. And the only reason that they end up not giving them ID or whatever is because the sergeant shows up and smooths it over and you see the whole bit. And it's not uncommon. I mean, I'm not saying it's not uncommon like generally, but it's not uncommon in these videos for that to be the way it plays out. And, it's interesting to me. And I completely respect the idea that if a police officer is responding to some sort of active, incident or problem or something, that he's got certain things to do. And maybe those types of things are things that, we're going to comply with in the moment and then take issue with later. But there's got to be some discernment for the idea that, not everything a policeman tries to do is kosher.
Right. And I'm not saying that everything that a policeman tries to do is kosher. There are bad cops out there. There are cops that don't understand the law. Like you said, show me your ID. I don't have to. Yes, you do. Not the case. I've dealt with that here. People in a position of authority not understanding the laws as they're written. And they have to be reminded of that. And that's where the sergeant comes into play.
I'm sorry. I have to do it. I am the law.
All right.
Sorry, that's my Stallone for the show.
Okay, Sly. Start calling you Sly.
I am the law. No, I completely. You know, I was hoping we were going to disagree more. I was hoping we were going to disagree more on this because that makes for a better show.
Yes.
So you need to take the position that police are infallible, and I need to take the position that police are never right.
Wrong. The police are the only ones that should. I can't even say that. Okay, so most law enforcement officers are acting in good interest, not the best interest, but in good interest. Theirs, yours. They don't want to shoot people, but you know, you may not understand what they're reacting to. So start off with a good interaction with them. You know, when they come racing up to you and they say, "Show me your ID," and you're not required to say, you know, respond kindly and courteously, "Sir, under state law, I'm not required to show you my identification."
You know, there's and this kind of goes to your side of it too, is that I think it's important in most situations, and not just these, but especially in situations like this, that you remain calm and that you understand, you know, that this person is going to be coming to you from a very certain perspective, in that even if you don't agree with, if you get angry about it in the moment, which is something that I have a problem with. But if you get angry about it in the moment, you're going to create more problems for yourself. And it's going to lead to more trouble rather than less. And sometimes, even though you have that righteous indignation burning within you, you're going to have to stifle that.
Don't make rash decisions.
So that you get the most expedient outcome.
To pursue your unjust or the unjust actions taken against you.
That's right. So when he draws down on you because who knows what's happening, you drawing down on him won't make it better.
Taking his gun away is not the right course of action. Telling him to shoot you is not the right thing to say.
So, yeah.
Okay. So within reason, but here's the best one. Courteous. Be courteous.
Right. Right. You know, I don't think the people that, if you're listening to the show,
I don't think
you're probably not the problem, right? But you do interact with a lot of people who don't. And if you listen to the show, you interact with a lot of people who don't, and this might be something they need to hear. You know, and maybe you know, you can use something that we've said here in your own conversations that you have with people, and you know, help them be safe and have the most expedient outcome to their police interactions.
Say thank you to the next police officer you see. Say thank you for doing a good job and working hard. You know, maybe he's having a rough day. Maybe he just came from a domestic that was very ugly.
My taxes pay their salary.
All right. Right. Their taxes pay their salary too.
Nah, so. You know, I don't think they pay quite as much as they make. Just have this feeling. But no, yes, they do pay taxes too.
Oh. So just be courteous. Some police officers deal with it well, some don't. And the job is very difficult. It's very difficult. Don't get into a shouting match with the cop. Because
that's why they make the big bucks, man.
Right. Right. What do they average, like $36,000 a year?
It depends on where you work, like anything else.
Right.
Jersey, you can make pretty good money, depending on the municipality that you're in, I'm guessing.
Right.
Anyway. So that's it. We want you to be safe. Talk to your friends about this. If something comes up, maybe you can use something that we talked about to their advantage as well. After this, this is going to be a short topic here, but basically, we got some iTunes reviews.
Sweet. If you haven't reviewed us on iTunes and you get your episodes there, please go and review us on iTunes.
Yeah. If you go, if even if you don't listen to us through iTunes or the podcast app, if you listen to the show and you like what you hear, we'd like to hear from you. So we have one review on iTunes and, well, we had a few reviews.
One review, that's not me.
One review, that's not you. So we've had some ratings. We've had a few ratings, and we're doing pretty good on the ratings. We got a few five-star reviews, and then we got a three-star review, and the three-star review is the one who left the comment, of course. So, but it was a constructive comment, I think, basically saying that the topics were good, but he thought that we felt unenthusiastic and low monotone, which I can understand him feeling that we're a little monotone because basically you have two brothers talking who sound like basically the same person more than they should.
And it takes a lot to excite us, get us worked up, I guess.
Right. And while we're having fun with the show, we're not exactly over the top entertaining as far as we don't have clowns. And, no clown show. Yeah, there's not a lot of sizzle. It's mostly steak.
Surf and turf.
That's going on my next business card. So, if you could give us a review on iTunes, we'd very much appreciate it. We ask you for them at the end of every show. If you listen to the lovely voice at the end of the show, she asks you to give us a review, and we'd like to see some of those. That'd be a lot of fun for us. If you have some
the website and leave some comments there, email us.
Yeah. We like hearing the emails. We like getting the emails. Actually, we got an email. I forwarded it to you. Did you see it?
I did not.
We have some user submitted words of wisdom that I'm hoping are going to be coming up on future episodes.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Are they quotes from me?
They're not quotes from you.
Wisdom. I'm dropping wisdom like a boss over here.
I know, but they want to help you drop wisdom, so that's even better. Here, you know what? Right. Let me take a quick look and see.
Can we move on to calling the shots?
I forwarded this email to you, and this is George Forsyth. Emailed some words of wisdom. So I'm hoping they're going to be coming up on future episodes.
I will take a look.
This is me requesting you.
George, I'm going to take a look.
All right.
As soon as I can.
Calling the shots.
All right. Calling the shots. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a super owner.
It's a super
Are you a super gun owner?
No, I'm not a super owner, unfortunately. I'm still house poor.
Right. So we had there's an article in thetrace.org where they're talking about gun super owners on a Harvard study. Once you pass 17 firearms per individual, you're considered a super owner.
17 guns. I think right. There's quite a few of these around.
Quite a few super owners?
Probably.
I'm close.
I think my question is,
do I submit my number? Can I say I own this many guns and get a certificate or a plaque to hang on my wall?
Do you want to?
And can we submit those to Harvard and be like, I need my plaque, Harvard?
So I guess that raises a question of what are the benefits of being a super owner other than a good time?
owning a fair amount of guns. I'd say 17 is a good number of guns.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, though, you know, if you have a few pistols. I mean, you got what? You got like five or six just to cover the different types of actions and different style of gun, right?
Right. I mean, so just say you have a single action revolver, a double action revolver, or maybe some black powder or muzzle loading, you know, if that's your thing. And then you have your AR and your AK. Gotta have those.
Right.
Gotta have a bolt action rifle for some deer hunting, maybe a long range rifle.
Mm-hmm. And you can't just have one bolt action rifle. You probably have to have something that's in like the intermediate cartridge range, and then maybe something in a smaller cartridge range.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Then you have your 22 rifle and your 22 pistol.
Yeah.
And then you're gonna have to have a shotgun, you know, depending on what you're shooting.
Yeah.
Turkeys need a 12 gauge with 3.5 inch shell.
And you might even have a 410.
Well, right. Game birds would take a 410, so you got to have a couple types of shotguns, and you know, before you know it, then you got to have, you know, you got to have your 50 caliber rifle for long range shooting. So
you have to,
just have to.
Oh,
everybody's got to own a 50. You know, so before you know it, you're right up there in your super owner status, and you got to have a couple different calibers for concealed carry and different.
I wonder if they count styles. One of those Beowulf uppers that you just put on a lower. Is that like a whole, is that like a separate rifle? Does that count as two? If you have both,
that does not count as a rifle. That is an upper receiver.
Well, right. I know. I understand ATF wise, but I'm talking for the study. Did they define this in the same terms?
I would have to say no. If I was taking the survey and they said, "How many do you own?" I wouldn't count all of my uppers. I would just count my lower receivers.
Okay.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah. So 17, not that difficult to get to, we don't think. So
unfortunately, I am not there yet.
Not there yet. Soon. So this is the Trace, huh? Trace.org. We're going to link to that if you want to check it out.
You can apply for Harvard study.
You can apply for your plaque at michaelbloomberg.com.
If you send us a picture of you with at least 17 guns, maybe I'll send you a certificate.
A certificate. Gun super owner. You should design a certificate.
I think you would like it. If you send us a picture of yourself with at least 17 guns.
You need to, no, seriously.
I'll send you a certificate that you will like.
Design a certificate with the logo on it. Bear Arms Show super gun owner or super owner certified.
There you go. Bear Arms Show super owner certified.
That's right. Bam. Done. Mike@beararmshow.com.
Mike@beararmshow.com.
All right. What's up?
All right. So next is Washington State Mall. Was the site of the latest shooting. So there was a mall about 60 miles north of Seattle area involved in a shooting. I referenced it earlier. Five people were shot in a mall. I believe two of them died at the scene, and one was in a serious condition, and the other two were in non-life-threatening condition. But as an update, you know, it's happening everywhere. One thing I am curious to know, that they haven't released any information on it yet, was how was their new gun control laws that they enacted supposed to stop a crime like this? They haven't covered that yet. The suspect was just apprehended late last night.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. Late last night.
Yep. I was watching the late Sunday night football game. And after the game, the news came on and said they had just apprehended the suspect.
Interesting. All right. So with that, it's going to be the end of the show. We appreciate you for joining us on this very quick episode of the Bear Arms Show. You can find out more with our show notes and more episodes at beararmshow.com. You can also use that to subscribe to us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook. You can even download the iPhone, iPad app, Android app, whichever app you like. BearArmchair.com, we've got a whole page telling you how to subscribe. And with that, I think we're done. You have anything else, Mike?
I do not.
All right. So with that, we'll see you all next week. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Bear Arm Show. If you enjoyed today's show, please head over to iTunes to rate and leave a review. This helps spread the word, and we thank you for it. For show notes or updates about new episodes, please visit www.beararmshow.com.